peace before God the Father. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry, freedom from that anxiousness. Contentment and real quietness of heart.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking about the collision between two worldviews. One worldview is the Constitutional Republic that I believe 56 men signing the dotted line. One saying, we either hang together or we'll all hang separately. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution that we have today. As a result, I believe that we need to recognize what God has divinely intervened and provided for us. It is that which is needed and necessary today to preserve our Constitutional Republic is for Christians to stand up, speak up. I'm looking at a headline that says, Islamification becomes public enemy number one in America. Survey shows it's the biggest concern, more so than abortion, health care, and Iran. Representative Randy Fine, Republican from Florida, told the Daily Signal that a recent campaign poll of his found many of his constituents view the rise of Islamification and Islam rule as a top concern in America. As stated by Representative Fine, respondents prioritized the issue above topics such as abortion, health care, and the conflict involving Iran. I had to fight my pollster, Republican Representative Fine said, because no one ever asked about the rise of Islam, radical Islam, in America. And I wanted it placed in my survey, Representative Fine said. It was one of the largest issues people rated. My constituents believed it to be concerned, it will concern them more than the war in Iran, abortion, and more. He stated then, remember, the mayor in New York, Mondami, called for the broader acceptance. Listen to Mondami's call. Broader acceptance of the Prophet Muhammad on Islamic migration. Look, the history of Islam is one of conquest, Representative Fine said, describing why he believes the issue resonates with certain voters. Representative Kenneth Self, Republican in Texas, told the Daily Signal that concerns raised by Fine are among the reason he co-founded the Sharia Free America Caucus. Self said that the group aims to educate lawmakers and the public about what he described as the risk of Sharia law in America. We're educating ourselves and our constituents and the wider audience, he said. We believe the values of this country, and we believe the values of capitalism and the Christian foundations are more valuable and important than ever seen in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the collision between two worldviews, the Constitutional Republic worldview that we have in America, and the worldview of Islam, socialism, Marxism, and communism that, by the way, is more and more being embraced by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party on the left. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go over the question to comment, please. Lily, are you there?
Well, speaking up as usual. I am in full agreement that we are on the verge. We are losing our culture, and that America, as strong as it has become, we will be fooling ourselves to think it cannot go down or decline. And it's clear that we will be losing it unless we have an intervention from God Himself. And what you're dealing with, what you're looking at, is the battle of religions. God has been dealing with the forces of evil, the devil, from the very beginning coming, and the fight goes on. So what we end up with is the dominant satanic or demonic powers, Marxism, communism, socialism, which I think socialism is just a pretty name for communism. That would fool people to think that socialism was going to make everybody on the same level, and capitalism is bad, that some is too rich and some have nothing. So it's a circle. That's the part of the strategy to use words and manipulate the meaning of the words. So God help us. But, these forces, dominant forces, Marxism, communism, socialism, coming together now, the alignment with Islam is exactly what the powers of darkness is going to use to bring down America, to crush America, because America is representing the Judeo-Christian value, and Christianity must be gotten rid of. So to me, the only answer is for the believers to wake up, and that's my prayer, that God will help the church, and to pray we must pray the Lord of the harvest, that He will raise up reapers, that some young God will raise up. It's only an intervention from God that will give the revival that we need, which is the church. Revive the believers so we can overcome what the forces of evil is doing, even in the Islamic, the Muslim territories. Give them the gospel and overpower what they are doing, rather than let them continue to grow Muslim communities.
Absolutely.
And then start to take over.
Absolutely.
Get the gospel to them. Yes.
Lily, what you're saying is on target, exactly right. One of the things we need to recognize, when Islamization is taking place in America, when the Islamics come into America, they do not assimilate. They do not blend.
They isolate
themselves. That's taking place in Texas today. For years, that's taken place in Michigan.
Yes.
And Texas is trying to fight it and protect it. It demands our prayer. It demands our recognition. It demands our recognition in such a way, Lily, as you've said, that Christians and pastors and those that are in the know and recognize it, that we'll pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That's what's needed today, as you touched on, is real revival. Revival is the only hope that we have in America, and revival comes from the church, not from government, not from organizations, not from structures, cannot be found in any other religion, but only in Christianity. So, Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, thank you for taking the call. I've got to try to limit my subject, so I'm just going to give some topical thoughts rather than try to discuss it, and then you can take it apart if you wish. But we are definitely in a conflict of cultures. We are at the point in history right now, in my humble opinion, when we are going from America the beautiful to America the putrid. It's been coming for a long time. Here's what I think is the symbol of it. I hope you don't think this is too comedic, but I believe that on July the 4th, America hit its turning point. We had this beautiful display of what America was, and now those people who are of Satan's camp are coming back, and people are trying to detract from or tear down what was made very evident to us on the evening of July the 4th when the president gave his delayed speech and we had the delayed massive fireworks show. That was the pinnacle of what America was, and we are now in what America is yet going to be. And here is what I think is comedic. What happened at the same time of the 250th anniversary of America's independence? We had the World Soccer Tournament. Where did it take place? It took place right here. What is the world's preeminent sport? It is soccer. Has it been in America? Absolutely not. NFL has taken priority in the baseball and basketball. But we had the world, this is my opinion, we've had the world superimposed on us by this massive embracing in America of what never before has been popular, soccer, right on top of the 250th celebration of America. I believe that marks the point at which America has tipped from America the beautiful to America the putrid. Well, that's a little thing, buddy. That's crazy. You know, God works in symbols. And I tell you what, I could care less about soccer. I used to have to play it in the Air Force. I hated soccer. I don't know anybody that really likes soccer that's in their right mind. But suddenly America has embraced it. I believe that is the symbol of America being subsumed into the world empire. America that built the world that we live in, the world that we live in for the last at least 150 years in the beginning of the industrial age, was built by America, a God-fearing Christian nation, as Alexis Tocqueville said very rightly, in the 19th century. We are, as, and I wish I could remember the author's name, well-known guy in the mid-90s, published a book, Civilizations in Conflict, predicting what we've experienced now. We are at the tipping point. We hit the tipping point of history on July the 4th of 2026, about midnight when all the fireworks went off. That celebrated the America that was. Now we are in the America, well, the putrefying America that will eventually either go away completely or will be completely subsumed into the rest of the world, pretending to be a leader, if you will, but coming against Israel and fulfilling all these prophecies that yet need to be fulfilled with us absent, because the rapture's got to be about to happen. I didn't say that very clearly, and I apologize. But
No, you're right. You're on target with what you're saying, in my opinion. In fact, to buttress what you just said, I find it absolutely ironic. Headline says, incredibly problematic. Democrats in Congress are now vowing to investigate America 250. Why? Mm-hmm. Because of featuring Christianity. Mm-hmm. A Democrat in Congress is vowing if the Democrats gain control of the U.S. House, they will investigate the national celebration of America's 250th birthday organized by President Donald J. Trump, specifically because of the high profile, including Christianity, end quote. You can't get any clearer than that. That is, for me, it's full face-on from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. They hate God. They hate Christ. They hate the Bible. They hate prayer. They hate the cross. They hate anything that would be called a flag. In fact, I don't know if you heard me the other day. I made mention of the fact that I was surprised to find right here in Jacksonville, Florida, we have at least, and maybe many, many others, but at least two churches where the pastor bellyached in the pulpit that were watching Christ-like Christians becoming flag worshipers. Flag worshipers. Simply because we love America. They're the statement that's being made by many for the past several years, calling it Christian nationalism. Well, if that's a badge you want to put on me, I'll pin it on both shoulders.
I'm right there with you.
Because I'm a Christian and I love America. I love the flag. I love the pledge to the flag. I'm so thankful with the nation that God's given us that I rejoice just to the thinking of 56 men that were willing to risk their lives, and indeed they did, to give us the founding documents that God, I believe, supernaturally gave us, that we'd have the freedom that we have for 250 years. But I believe we're rapidly losing it, Woody. So it demands our prayer. And as you alluded to, I'm looking for the rapture. I'm ready for the next thing on the calendar of God, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the sudden seizure, the disappearance of millions in America that's called Christians. And so I'm thankful that we have that soft pillow to place our heads on. Woody, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let's just do a little hopscotch here for a moment. What would the nation be like if we are controlled by Islam? Then I'm going to talk about what the nation be like if we're controlled by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. Listen again. I'm going to talk about what an American would be like if we're controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Then I'm going to talk about what the America would be like if we're controlled by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrat Party. Is that clear? 904-803-0917, 904-831-0917, 904-831, I'll get the number right in a minute, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, if America, let's do some possibilities and projections. If America were controlled by Islam today, there'd be no weapons in the hands of any citizen. Be no weapons. Islam would be the only one carrying the sword, only one carrying the weapon to force submission. By the way, Islam means submission. Secondly, women would simply be sex slaves. Cannot leave the house without a man walking with them. Cannot leave the house unless their husband or the brother or another male is with them. Cannot leave the house and walk down the street unless they walk at least 5 feet behind the Islamic male. They must be subservient to the male. Women must be completely covered except their eyes and what's called the hijab. In fact, right at this very moment, there's a dear woman in Iran that's facing total slaughter, facing assassination, murder, by 79 stripes with a whip. 79 will kill her. What was her crime? She sang their national anthem without a hijab, with her regular clothing on. I would call it normal clothing. They do not. That's what America will be like if Islam is in control. Female genital mutilation for all little girls 12 years old and older, called FGM. That's being done in some places in America today. Case just a few years ago. And when it got to the court, the judge refused to prosecute because the Islamics were able to prove, based on their Sharia law, that they had the right to do that to little girls. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're in an Islamic nation, if the Islamic jihadists are in control of America, women would not have any standard. Women would not have a stand. Women could not vote. Rape and ravaging of the women would be normal. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. In Europe today, they're bemoaning the fact, complaining for the fact, that there's major, major, major problems in the public arena. Some 250,000 women and little girls have been absolutely, ravaged as a result of the Islamic domination coming in to being in the nation or in that part of the world in Europe. There's a major problem. We recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place. I believe it was 250,000 over a period of about the past year or 2 years. You know, the courts, the legal professionals there say to the women and to the girls, you just need to dress more, stay on the main streets, or stay at home to be protected. ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem when we talk about the future if we are not very, very careful to understand what the future holds in relationship to that. I'm concerned, and I believe every citizen ought to be concerned about that. I'm looking at a headline. It says, new lessons, including Islam's violence pending for public schools. The new lesson standard, including those about Islamic violence, are pending for public school textbooks in Texas. The report revealed the social studies proposal would mandate schools also teach the Bible and lessons in the biblical text. They're discovering that children as young as 6 years old until they graduate from high school, this includes the parable of the prodigal son, the Beatitudes, Christian story about Adam and Eve, etc. They're discovering the textbooks in the state of Texas, ladies and gentlemen, have been absolutely impacted, I'm using that politely, impacted with studies on Islam. The move comes after there's been a rise in significant concern in the state of Texas over the influence of Islam in the Muslim plans to dominate the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it should be enough to frighten any person to realize and recognize what is truly happening in our nation and what would be the case if Islam is in control. If Islam is in control, ladies and gentlemen, this is the standard. I'm looking at the Quran. And the Quran in Surah 2, we call them verses, they call them surahs. You can spell it S-U-R-A, S-U-R-A-H, either one is correct. Just like the Quran can be spelled appropriately and properly with a Q or with a K. This says this in Surah 2, 191. And kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of all non-believers. Surah 2, 193. Fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2, 216. Jihad, that is holy fighting for Allah, is ordained for every Muslim. Surah 456. Those who disbelieve shall burn in fire. Surah 4101, all disbelievers, non-Muslims, are to be ever your open enemies. Surah 4102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 839, fight them, all non-believers, until there's no more disbelief in Islam. Surah 855, the worst moving living creature before Allah are those who are non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get any clearer than what the Quran says itself. Surah 95, and kill them, the disbelievers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them, capture them, besiege them, lie in wait for them until each and every one can be ambushed and killed. Surah 914, fight against them, non-Muslims, so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them. It is, ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on with the surahs out of the Quran. And yet, supposedly, we're told by some on the left side of the aisle, we're told that they are all right. There's some that's been radicalized. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully. There's no such thing as the radicalization of an Islamic. He's either Islamic or he's not. Just as you say with a Christian, can you say that he's been radicalized, he's now a Christian? He's either a Christian or he's not a Christian. If it's a Muslim, and a Muslim is one, if he believes the Quran, as the Quran and held in belief and embraces that as being real, if the Quran says it, and that is an Islamic that believes the Quran, he is out to perform any act of allegiance to Allah based on what the Quran says. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you from my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Page 234 and following. According to Robert Spencer, stated in his book, The Myth of Islamic Tolerance, page 63, we find the legal ordinances which are enforced on all Christians and Jews who reside in Muslim countries. First of all, Christians and Jews are not allowed to build churches, temples, or synagogues. Number two, Christians and Jews are not allowed to pray and read their sacred books, their sacred papers, or even out loud in their homes, churches, lest Muslims hear their prayers and then they're chased down. Number three, Christians and Jews are not allowed to print any religious material, sell them, buy them in public places. Number four, Christians and Jews are not allowed to install crosses, stars of David on their houses, on their churches, on their clothes, or any symbol. Five, Christians and Jews are not allowed to broadcast or display their services on radio, television, internet, or other means of printed material. Christians and Jews are not allowed to congregate publicly. Christians and Jews cannot join the army because they're not allowed to assume leadership roles. Islam, therefore, must be viewed as totally intolerant and no way representing anything close to what would be called freedoms in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a serious place in our nation. It is the collision between two worldviews. And ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, what about the worldview of Islam, socialism, Marxism, and communism? What would that do? Ladies and gentlemen, there'd be no churches, no Bible, no prayer that would be allowed on a public in a public place. I'm looking at headline. Scramble not to answer. What stunned Democrat U.S. Senator Scurry to avoid the question about socialism? America's Democratic Party is now the party of socialists. They actually are just socialists who have embedded themselves in the left party and taken control as on open borders with the nation and commune with a commune economy where the government gives large masses of majorities huge benefits, including cash, and gives voters the bill. It's the least iteration of socialism, and the latest iteration of socialism is no one works. CNBC pressed, I just want to know one place where socialism has ever been beneficial. The answer was, when you have me come back, we'll talk about it then. Democratic socialists already are in office, like Zoras Mandani in New York City, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the escalation of the building of a major, major push today to make America a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, including the embracing of Islam and the Islamization of our nation. I'm looking at a headline that says, China releases a Christian pastor following Trump's appeal. Ezra Jin, a pastor of underground church that has been taking China by storm, has been freed in what his family describes as an absolute miracle. I'll not read the article, but just simply state he'd been imprisoned for preaching the gospel in China. President Trump, the word name came to Trump. Trump, at one communication with the president of China, made mention of it last year, and finally the pastor is released. That's what happens in a Chinese nation. Looking at the headline, between the Declaration and the Communist Manifesto, only one can prevail. You can't have both. It's an impossibility to have a constitutional republic and a communist manifesto. And ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track for it. So what do we do? How should we respond? We need to be salt and light. Salt is something that will prevent further decay. Light illumines darkness. So let me challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, be salt and light. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in saying we will not allow this to happen to our nation. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 on 91 Play of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Thank you.